top of Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. And what we saw so far is a discussion about a tail. What do you have? You have a karpaf that's more than a base asayim, lo hukaf lidira, and it's got three major mechitzos, solid, complete mechitzos, covering three sides, but on the fourth side, it has a tail, which means just a mound, some sort of a mound that goes on that fourth side. It has the shear, the minimum size, a height of 10 tfachim, and that is the fourth mechitza, this karpaf. And what he does now is he creates a fourth mechitza to replace, so to speak, the tail. And we had a machlokas here between Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna. We don't know who holds what yet, about the case where he distanced himself from the tail only three tefachim. If he distanced himself and he set up this kosel at a distance of four tefachim, and now he sets up the fourth mechitza for the purpose of dira, so that's called hukaf ledira. Less mind the polig, nobody disagrees that that would validate and be matir tiltel in the so-called karpaf, which is no longer karpaf because now it's karpaf hukaf ledira. But if, on the other hand, he does one of two things. Either he sets up his mechitza very close to the tail, that's within less than three tefachim, or alternatively, he sets up a mechitza on top of the tail, literally builds it in, you know, he indents his mechitza into this tail. The tail is apparently made up of soft ground. So here we have machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna. According to one opinion, he has now successfully been matir tiltel in the heke in the karpaf, because now he has established a mechitza to replace the tail, and apparently one mechitza is enough to make this karpaf into hukaf ledira. And the other opinion has it, no, it cannot work, it cannot be effective, because this is what we call mechitza al gabi mechitza. You know, the second mechitza is not adding anything to the first mechitza. So the Gemara says tistayim, this is where we ended yesterday, so let's just see if we can find the place. And we're talking about a line that starts with the word Bishabis, which is about, you know, maybe it's easier even to go up from the bottom of the omen. If you count up from the bottom of the omen about 20 lines or so, I don't know, I didn't count it exactly, you'll hopefully, your finger will catch a line that starts with the word Bishabis. And if you move towards the left, you'll see the word Tistayim. Tistayim means, I have a proof. Derav Chisda, di Omar Hoil. It's of these two candidates, it's Rav Chisda who's the one who validates the mechitza that he set up within three tefachim, less than three tefachim of the tail. And That extra mechitza is effective to create a karpaf hukaf lidira, which means that you're allowed to carry in the karpaf. The itmar, because we learned to osa mechitza al gabi mechitza. Omar av chizda b'shabis hoil b'nichse ager lo kana. So Rav Chisda says, as far as the laws of Rishuyos of Shabbos is concerned, for example, Hekef the Dira, if he makes a mechitza for the purpose of Dira, and it's basically on top of a pre-existing mechitza which was Lohu Kafla Dira, then Hoil. Hoil means that mechitza that he sets up now, L'shem Dira, is effective to make this Karpaf into a Karpaf that's Hukaf L'dira. However, if you want to know whether or not setting up a mechitza is a valid kinyan chazaka, which means that if you want to acquire ownership of a real estate, one of the various methods you can use is called a chazaka. And a chazaka means that you change the structure of the real estate. For example, you set up a mechitza that surrounds the karka. So now you have a piece of real estate that was owned by a ger, a convert. And we'll see why we're talking about a convert here. And there was already a mechitza. Now the convert dies. And he has no yorshim, no heirs to inherit him. So we have a principle called Nichsei Hager Hefgerheim, which means that Kol HaKodim Zoch, whoever gets there first come, first serve, he can acquire ownership. So now somebody came along and he wants to acquire ownership over the karka that belonged to the ger during his lifetime, and that karka already had a mechitza. Now he adds another mechitza, which normally would have been a kinyan chazaka, but says Rav Chisda lo kana. That's not called a chazaka because he didn't add anything. He is just, he's just building one mechitza on top of the other. And although that might be good enough in the case of Hekef Ledira for Shabbos, but it's not good enough for Kinyan Chazaka. A Kinyan Chazaka has to demonstrate that you're the owner here. You did something that only an owner would do. And it's got to be meaningful. You got to set up a bona fide mechitza. So what's going to happen is now, if somebody jumps into the ring, and he now makes his own Kinyan Chazaka, then he will be Zoche in the Nichsei Hager, despite the fact that somebody before him had created a Mechitza, but that Mechitza was a Mechitza Al Mechitza, which is not valid as a Kinyan Chazaka. So then now somebody comes along, and he makes his Chazaka, he'll be Kona. Okay, fine. In the footnote, he just goes through the background. I'll just reiterate what we said before. Ger shemes belo bonim or bonos. He has no children, and he dies. And he has no krovim, no relatives, because of a principle called kikaton shenolad dami. So he may have biological relatives, but they are not halachic relatives, even if they would undergo gerus, they're still not related to him. He can imagine he could have a biological brother who's a Jew, because his biological brother converted to Judaism just like he did. And as far as Yerusha is concerned, they're not brothers, even though they have the same genetic code. They could give different parts of their body to save the other ones. Anyway, fine. Now, this guy comes along, and he sets up another mechitza, then he's not kona with chazaka. Rav Sheshi Somer af b'Shabbos nami lo hoil. Rav Sheshi says that even on Shabbos, adding a mechitza to an already pre-existing mechitza is not effective. It's not meaningful, and therefore the karpaf is still considered a karpaf shelo hukaf l'dir, and is still osu b'tiltul. Tistayim, now we can clarify that it was indeed Rav Chisda who validated this mechitza. Now, what's the difference between Shabbos and Chazaka? Why is it that, according to Rav Chisda, in a case of an added mechitza, it will be effective on Shabbos to make this karpaf into a karpaf hukaf ledira, whereas in Nichsei Ager, as a chazaka, it doesn't qualify. So he has here Rabbi Simcha Midvinsk, who says the following, that in the case of Nichsei Ager, since there already was a mechitza before he came, he didn't do anything by adding another mechitza. But in Shabbos, the second mechitza is different than the first mechitza. The first mechitza was shelo l'shem dira. The second was l'shem dira. And once he's creating a mechitza l'shem dira, and it has a different function, and it's going to alter the situation, the status of this piece of karpav, then that second mechitza is a valid mechitza because it adds something that was lacking in the first mechitza.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I thought, I'm lost in the text. I'm not sure where you are.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know how much time because of this whole Zoom business, I never know, whether you found the place or you didn't find the place.
No, originally I knew where you were, but somehow I lost you. I don't know why.
So let me just ask you if you can find the following. First of all, again, let's reiterate, we're on Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, that you know.
Yes.
And the lines are thin and then they get wide. So we're going to count together the lines going up as the first thin line. Again, the first thin line is really on the top of the page, but we're going from the bottom up. So we're looking for the first thin line going bottom up, and we're going to count together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the first word of the line is what? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
I started there with you.
But just tell me, again, you got to play.
We started just Diane.
Yeah, okay.
I was there with you.
Yeah, but
now. I'm not sure where you are now.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you. If you could tell me which word is the first word in a line that's seven lines up from the bottom skinny line. You're counting seven lines. That's why I'm trying to do this together so we come up with the same word. One word. That's the first word in a line so we know we're on the same place. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What is the first word in seven lines up from the first of the skinny lines, which is really the last of the skinny lines on the page?
Umoda.
Excellent! That's where we're up to. Umoda.
Okay,
great. Umode, umode li Rav Sheshes. Rav Chisda turns to Rav Sheshes and he says, I want you to concede to me that if you have a case of a karpaf that has a fourth mechitza that's a tail, that's on a mound, in such a case, even though the karpaf is more than beis asayim, even though it's more than a beis asayim, im osa mechitza al atel, in the case where he builds a mechitza on top of a mound, hoil. Meaning, Rav Sheshes, I understand your position. I can, even though I disagree with you, I can appreciate your point of view that adding another mechitza to already pre-existing mechitza is meaningless. Even though the second mechitza was there, shalom, you know, to l'shem dira, right, to try to replace, but it's l'mais, it's the same mechitza. But there's one scenario in which, Rav Sheshes, even you should agree with me, that when he puts up this mechitza l'shem dira, it should absolutely transform the karpaf to be matir tiltul, and that's the case of mechitza al gabe tel, that the mechitza was set up on a mound. Why so, my timer? Why should you, Rav Sheshes, concede and accept my view, says Rav Chisda, in the case where you're putting up mechitza on top of a mound? Hoil ubavir mechitzos elyonos hudar. There are two mechitzos now when he adds to the tail. There's the tail itself, that's called mechitzos tachtonos, that's the lower mechitzos. And now he adds mechitzos elyonos by putting mechitzos on top of the tail. And now Rav Chisda turns to Rav Sheshes and he asks him the following question. Where is the dira? Which of these two mechitzos are affording, let's call it privacy, I mean for the lack of a better word right now? He says the following. Are you going to tell me that you live on top of a tail? That's not really so. A tail is a mound of earth. And, you know, it's here today, gone tomorrow, it sinks into the ground with the passage of time. And, you know, if you're on top of a tail, you don't really feel in any sense that you are surrounded by the tail. You're standing on top of the tail. You know, you get a good view, you know, maybe a lookout tower if you want to see the beautiful Hudson River or something like that. But don't tell me that that tail is really granting you any sort of protection or being enclosed. And therefore, when I set up mechitzos elyonos on top of the tail, then be'avir mechitzos elyonos hudar. That don't tell me you're living on top of a tail, because that's not really going to help you at all. I mean, let's say you're standing on top of a tail. Are you surrounded by mechitzos? This is not a rhetorical question. I'm really inviting you to please unmute yourself and give me the answer. When you stand on top of a tail, are you surrounded by mechitzos?
Yes.
Excellent. Yes, you are. Why? Because since the mound has 10 tefachim from the ground, then if you stand on top of the mound, we apply the principle of go to achis mechitzos, as if you were surrounded by mechitzos. That's a halachic legal concept. But it exists in the figment of our imagination. But if you ask me about Dira, you know, are you living within mechitzos? Are you really surrounded by mechitzos? Do you have mechitzos that are doing you anything, doing you any good in terms of your residence in that area when you're standing on top of the mound? The answer is zippo. Those mechitzos give you nothing. And therefore, if I set up mechitzos on top of the tail, admit to me, Rav Sheshes, that in that case, I have transformed your karpaf into a karpaf shehukaf l'dira, because I gave you these mechitzos for the purpose of dira. And now, you'll use the area for shade, and for taking a sunbath, and for drawing water, and planting trees, and setting up a naf-naf on Yom HaTzmud. Whatever you decide to do with this karpaf. Okay. So now we're up to Boi Rabba Bar Chana. All right? And we're still dealing with the issue of Mechitza al Gabi Mechitza. Boi Rabba Bar Chana. Nivlu Mechitzos HaTachtonos Ve'elyonos Kayomos Mahu. We don't know exactly what Rav Sheshes would have responded to Rav Chisda in the case of a tail. And it would seem that Rav Sheshes, even in the case of a tail, applied the principle of Ein Mechitza al Gabi Mechitza, and therefore the Karpaf is still a Karpaf Shel Hukaf L'dira. But what about a case where there was a Mechitza, but there is no longer a Mechitza? That's called Nivlaos. Do you see that word Nivlau? Nivlu means that the what once was a mechitza has now crumbled and has been sucked into the ground. It's been swallowed into the ground like Korach Vadoso. And now, he builds a new set of mechitzos on top of the old ones. That was Rabba's question. Now, the Gemara now analyzes what was the case that Rabba was vacillating about. Lamai. If he was wondering about whether or not you can establish a chazaka on hefker by setting up a mechitza to replace the old mechitza which was now sunk into the ground, he says, "Hainu diyirmiya bira." We already have a halachic ruling that dates back to the time of Yirmiya bira. He came from a city called Bira. And he said, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that Haiman de Shadi lifta apila di ara de ger, if a person would plant a leek, a lefes, it's called in Hebrew, in a hole in the ground of a ger, and then the ger dies. So now what happens? He plants something. Now normally, if you harvest a crop that's already growing, that's called a chazaka. You've clearly demonstrated your ownership. Ich bin balabas. I'm the balabas here. I'm going to reap the product, the produce of this field. But what if you plant something? Now, planting something, you put the seed in the ground, potentially you'll be able to enjoy the benefit of that growth when it grows. But right now, status quo, you've gotten no benefit whatsoever out of the karka. You have not exploited the karka. Uba achiv yosi yisrael achrina, another Jew came along, rafak beipurta, and he does a physical change in the karka. Is basra kani kamalo kani. The second one, even though he came second, he makes the kinyan, not the first one. Normally, when we have a kaman of basra in terms of being zochum and hefker, is kolakodim zochum. Whoever gets there first is zochum. But here, the first one is not zochum, the second one is zochum. My timer. Why is that so? What's the underlying logic in the case of the ruling of Yirmiya Bira? And the answer is, Be'idna dishada lo kashavach. At the moment that he planted, he did not improve the land in any substantial way. Again, the potential is there for it to produce the lefes, but right now, as is Basher Usham, you cannot call this karka any better than any other karka. Again, if there was something growing in the karka, you'd rather pay money for a piece of real estate that has growth, and you could just harvest that growth, but the fact that you put in a seed, that's not enough, according to Yirmiya Bira. V'chika shavcha, with the passage of time, this leek is going to grow, and it gives an additional value to the karka. Again, we're not talking about a karka that sells for millions, let's say a small plot of land, and every single cabbage that grows, you know, enhances its value by another 10 shekel, or whatever it is. But now, kiko shabcha, although with the passage of time, when the ground produces its vegetable, it will become worth more by some fraction of a fraction. But that's called memela. What does it mean, memela? That's not your action. Your action to qualify as a kinyan and demonstrate your ownership has to be a chazokan action, which now is mishabeach the karka. Through your action. You need a maisa ha-mishabeach, an action that enhances the karka. The karka itself, with the passage of time, will be enhanced in its value because it produces this vegetable. But that's not attributable to your action. Although you set the process in motion, that's not sufficient.
So, Rabbi, he didn't actually plow. He just put the seed in an existing
Excellent. You're 100% right. I thank you for pointing that out, Steve. I didn't clarify that. You're right. Okay. So now, let's see why the Gemara thinks that we now have a clear-cut answer to Rabba's question, meaning that Rabba couldn't have been asking this question and vacillating about this because we have a clear-cut analogy to this case of somebody who planted b'nichsei ager a seed. Here too, what happens? At the time that, we'll call him Reuven, came along and he built the second mechitza on top of the first mechitza, at that moment in time, the tachtonos, meaning the lower mechitza, was still alive and well. It was still intact. With the passage of time, the mechitza that, let's say, coexisted with the ger, during his lifetime, I mean, sunk below the ground. At that point, the mechitza that Reuven set up on top of the mechitza of the ger, all of a sudden, pops out as the most important and profound mechitza. But that's called memela. That's not your action. Your action was to set up, you know, what could I give you if I had an example from sports where, let's say, if there would be a sport in which you could have a catcher and then a catcher behind the catcher and the second catcher behind the catcher, if the first catcher moves to this direction or that, so the second catcher will catch the ball. You have this in Melechus Tzedah on Shabbos. You have someone who's blocking the exit of a deer and you have someone who stands behind him, and then the first guy moves away and the second guy is capturing the deer, right? So here also we have a concept called Bimela, which means that with the passage of time, what happens is these mechitzos are submerged, they sunk under the ground. Those are mechitzos that were set up by the ger. or whoever set it up, but it was during the lifetime of the ger. And now, after the first mechitza, which is called the tachtonos, submerges, then the elyonos becomes the valid mechitza. But that's called memela. That happened as a matter of fact. That's something that the karka, so to speak, produced this shevach. And that's not called a chazaka. So therefore, if Rabbah was vacillating about the case where Reuven set up a mechitza on top of the mechitza of the ger during the ger's lifetime, subsequently the ger died, clearly, based on the psak, the ruling of Yirmiya Bira, we would certainly come to the conclusion that that's not a kinyan. And if somebody else chaptetzi, as we say in Yiddish, you know, he grabbed the bag and he made a physical change in the karka in the meantime, then he, Shimon, the second one, the Basra, will be koneh. Ella, by process of elimination, we have to assume that Rabbah was vacillating about Shabbos. Now we're holding that ein mechitza al gabi mechitza, and that's not meaningful in Shabbos, like for example in the case of Rav Sheshes. So what would be the din if in the middle of Shabbos, imagine the following scenario: you came along and on top of your karpath, which has a mechitza, you built another mechitza, and on Shabbos, don't ask me why it happened on Shabbos, but maybe some of the weather conditions changed, and on Shabbos itself, the first mechitza submerged, and it went underground. So what happens? In the middle of Shabbos, Nivla Kosel HaRishon, the original Kosel, which was Lo Hukaf Ladira, now was Nivla. Can we now be Mata the Karpav? Because now we have the Mechitzos Elyonos, which were established the same Dira. So the Gemara says that could not be the Suffolk of Rabbah. Why? Havi Mechitza Nasis B'Shabbos. Because if a Mechitza becomes a Mechitza on Shabbos, then it's valid. And then Rabbah would have come to the conclusion that for sure you'd be allowed to carry in the Karpaf, because now we have the Mechitza El Yona, and even though that Mechitza El Yona became a Mechitza on Shabbos, it would certainly be valid, and it was Hukaf Ladira, and now we have a Karpaf Hukaf Ladira. How do I know that a Mechitza that was created on Shabbos is valid? Vesanya, we learned in the Braisa, Kol Mechitza Nasis B'Shabbos, Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid, Shma Mechitza. Imagine, a person builds a mechitza on Shabbos. That's a no-no. That's a serious violation. Okay, he did it b'shogeg. All right, he didn't remember it was Shabbos. But then it says, he did it b'mezid. I mean, this is probably a violation of who knows how many different malachas. I'm just being dramatic. But it's certainly a violation of aleches boneh, building a mechitza. That's why, by the way, if you have, sometimes you'll see in certain synagogues, especially if they're in their transitional stage, so they have these folding mechitzos. You know what I'm talking about? And let's say it fell down, or nobody put up the mechitza, and on Shabbos somebody wants to build that mechitza. It's a serious problem, but maybe we can be allowed it because it's only a mechitza roy. It's only a temporary mechitza. It opens and it closes. It's like a cot. You know, you're allowed to open a cot on Shabbos. And that's not called building because the cot has segments which fold together and then unfold. You know, you're not making any... But anyway, I got off on a tangent. But the bottom line is that state, it says here in this braisa that you're allowed... I'm sorry. Start again. It says here in this braisa that if you made a mechitza on Shabbos illegally, nevertheless a mechitza is a mechitza, and it's valid. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, when the mechitza tachtona submerges, it's nivla on Shabbos, the mechitza elyona now becomes a creation of its own. It's a created mechitza. And it's a direct result of his action. It's not like the case where he planted... You know, he planted a a seed. You know, here he himself structured the mechitza. The only thing is, it didn't have a shame mechitza as long as the bottom mechitza was still alive and well, because ain mechitza al gabi mechitza. But now that the bottom mechitza is no longer, it's submerged underground, now the mechitza that you built, it's a valid mechitza, even though it became a mechitza when? On Shabbos. So Gemara says, Nen, lavit mar Allah. We have a statement of Rav Nachman that very severely qualifies and restricts the original brisa that we were learning. Lo shanu ela lizrok avol etaltel asur. So now what we have is the following. The status of a mechitza is relevant lechumra and lekula in two different ways. Two different directions. Let's start with Lechumra. When a mechitza is valid, that has tremendously severe repercussions, because it could create a Rishus HaYochid. Let's say you had two mechitzas, you need a third, three mechitzas, you need a fourth, whatever your numbers are. And now he's standing in a Rishus HaRabim, and he throws something inside this area that's enclosed by a mechitza. And when was this mechitza created? It was created on Shabbos. Says Rav Nachman, that's what the Braisa has in mind when it says that a mechitza that was created on Shabbos is valid. And that's L'chumra, such that if somebody throws an object from Rosh Hashanah into that area, and the mechitza was created on Shabbos, he's chayef. But L'kula, to apply a leniency and say that now I can carry something in that area because it became Rosh Hashanah Yochid as a result of the fact that this mechitza emerged on Shabbos, that, says Rav Nachman, that's not so. So if this be the case, then our discussion about Rabbah in the case where on Shabbos the original mechitza, which was Shalol L'Shem Dira, on Shabbos was Nivla, right? It went below the ground. And now your mechitza that you created on top of that mechitza becomes a mechitza on Shabbos. And now what's the import of that? Ah, we want to allow you to carry in that karpaf. That's Lekula. That far we're not going to go. So Rav Nachman is applying what we call a brisker tzvei dinim. There are two different dinim. There's one din about the validity of this mechitza that was created on Shabbos vis-a-vis Chumra, and there's another din of the status of that mechitza vis-a-vis Lekula. And the answer is, says Rav Nachman, that if you're talking Lechumra, we're going to recognize that mechitza. If you're talking Lekula to allow Tiltul, we're not going to recognize that mechitza. The Gemara says, no, you're misquoting Rav Nachman. Ki itmar de Rav Nachman amazed itmar. Rav Nachman was only addressing the case of Mezid. He created a mechitza as a deliberate violation of Shabbos, and here we're going to impose a penalty. We're going to penalize him, and we're going to say, you know what? You're not going to get any benefits from this. You created a mechitza on Shabbos deliberately, and now you want to be matir tiltul? That we're not going to accept. However, in the case of Shogeg, where inadvertently he wasn't aware of the problem, or maybe he didn't even remember it was Shabbos, he put up a mechitza. We're not going to penalize him in the case of Shogeg. He was unintentional. Here also, I put up a mechitza on Friday. On Shabbos, the original mechitza below my mechitza sunk to the bottom of the thing. That's clearly a case of shogeg. And therefore, we can recognize this mechitza. And Rabbah wanted to know, can we recognize this mechitza to be matir tiltul in a karpaf by saying that that mechitza was set up l'shem dira, and now we could transform the status of this karpaf from a karpaf shehukaf lo l'shem dira into upgraded to a karpaf shukav l'shem dira, because we now have mechitza was created for the purpose of dira. And even though that mechitza emerges as a valid mechitza on Shabbos, but a mechitza on Shabbos is a valid mechitza. When are we going to disqualify the mechitza? That's only if he did it deliberately, violated the Shabbos intentionally and set up a mechitza, and now we're going to impose a knas on him. We're going to say, Lekula, you want to benefit from this mechitza? You're a chote niskar? We're not going to allow you to benefit from an avera. But in a case like our case, which is even more than a shogeg, I mean, he didn't even know that he was creating this mechitza. He was sleeping in his bed, and the mechitza became a mechitza because the original tachton fell underground. Then, for sure, that mechitza could be valid mechitza, and shall we say that that is a valid mechitza shem hekev dira, and it transforms the status as karpav into a karpav shu kaflid dir. That was the vacillation of Rabbah. And again, we can appreciate his vacillation because, on the one hand, his mechitza in its time, in its moment of glory, when he, you know, sat there, you know, stood there with his hammer and nails and he was creating this mechitza, it was nothing. It was garnished. It was not a mechitza. So very nice that he had in mind L'shem Dira, and he had very good intentions. He wanted to make it into a residential area that's surrounded by... But it wasn't a mechitza. Halachically, legally, it was not a mechitza. Because ein mechitza al gabi mechitza. Now, memelet became a mechitza. That's like the case where you wanted to make a chazaka, and you planted something, and the shvach of the karka only emerges later on memela, automatically. So that was Rabba's, that was his suffering. The Gemara tells us a story now. Hahi isisa di avda mechitza gabi mechitza benichse ager. Imagine a poor woman hears about a certain ger who owns a piece of property, and she's not going to steal it or anything like that. She may be desperate, but she wants to do everything kedasu kedin. So this widow builds a mechitza on top of the mechitza of the ger as a kind of investment in the future. She thinks that with the passage of time, and this ger will pass on into the next world, she now has first dibs on the karka because she created a mechitza around the karka, and that mechitza will be a chazok. So Rafak Bei Purta, Asahu Gavra, so there was another smart aleck. He saw what she was trying to pull off. And what he did was, Rafak Bei Purta. He actually made a structural change in the karka. Asal Kami the Rav Nachman. So this person comes in front of Nachman with a claim against the widow that she put up a mechitza on top of a mechitza. And that's not a valid kinyan chazaka. I, on the other hand, made a structural change, and even though I was last on the list, but I made a valid chazaka kinyan, and she did not. Ukma biyodeh. And Rav Nachman Paskin that he, rather than she, gets the karka. And as a result, osis eva katsovcha kamei, she comes and she's crying to him, and she says, look, I built a mechitza on top of the mechitza of the ger. Shouldn't I have therefore acquired ownership after his death on his karka? And Omalah, Rav Nachman said to her, my Eved Lach, I really apologize. I can't do anything. I can't change the law. The law mechzak in amachzi inshi, because your chazaka was not a normal chazaka. You did something that's not effective as, and doesn't qualify as a Kenyan Chazak, because you built a mechitza on top of a mechitza. And with that, my friends, we start the next sugya. Karpav Beis Shalosh. We said that a karpav has the size of a Beis Sa'ayim. That's the amount you would take to plant two saws. He's got a karpav that has three saws. It's one third larger. It's like three saws. The karabo. And now he builds a ceiling on part of the karpav. and that ceiling covers an area of a base saw. So he's got sasayim that is underneath the sky, and he's got one saw, that's the third saw that makes up this karpaf that's surrounded by the mechitzos, which is underneath the ceiling. Now here there's a question, who is speaking? Let's go with the girsa of Rabbah. Okay, that seems to be Rashi's girsa. Rabbah. Rabbah says, Avir Keruyov Miyasro. That section of the Karpaf, which is now roofed, is considered one part of the Karpaf. It has not yet set itself up as a separate entity. Now you and I may have said, and we'll soon see the Shita of Rav Zera, that once I put a roof up on part of the Karpaf, that part of the Karpaf is a separate entity. And we should subtract it from the total area of this Karpaf, and that would reduce the Karpaf to two sasayim, and therefore you'd be allowed to carry this. Says Rabbah, no. It is miyatro. Miyatro means, in Hebrew we call it a yitur. Yitur means it's an extension. You know, it enhances perhaps your Karpaf, but it hasn't yet reached, it doesn't rate as a separate entity. So if it's one and the same with the Karpaf, we still have a Karpaf that's more than a base sasayim. Rav Zera Omar, Ein Avir Keruyo Miyasro. That a place that is roofed is not it's not measured together with the rest of the Karpaf. Now, let's be honest about it. If you were selling the Karpaf on the open market, if it was privately owned, you know, it's your own private lot, then surely the contract would indicate that I'm selling you an area, one third of which, or one base saw of which, it has a roof on it. And underneath that roof, you can do all sorts of things. You can enjoy the benefit of it. It's in the shade. Bring your utensils there, your animals, whatever you want to bring there. However, at the end of the day, the contract will indicate the total size of the Karpaf. So why does Rav Zera say, Ein Avir Keruyov Miyasro? What does that mean? I would have said, just to dramatize my problem, leave out the word Ein, I would have said Avir Keruyov Miyasro. The airspace underneath the roof part is Miyasro. It just, shall we say, embellishes the entire Karpaf. I'm not selling you two pieces of property, if let's say I'm just giving you that much of a contract. I'm selling you one large piece of karka that has the area of Shalosh base soil. And one third of it, a base of which has avir that's karui, our avir airspace that happens to be underneath the roof. No, ein avir keruyov miyasro. What does that mean? It means that the avir underneath the roof is a separate entity. It's not the same avir, so to speak, and I don't mean this on a on a physical level, as the avir outside the keruy in the base of sayet, in the balance of the karpaf. It's a different avir. Now we've learned enough of Masechta Erevin to know that when you talk about avir, you're talking about a reshus, and Rabbi Zera is claiming that he's using avir as a way to communicate this, but conceptually what he's claiming is that this area of a base saw, one saw, that is covered by a roof, is a separate rishus. That's called avir kiruyav. What makes it into a separate rishus? So here, Abosa, we have to go back in our memory bank into beginnings of Masechta Erevin to a concept called Pi Kira Yored Vesose. So you remember perhaps a case where you had a highway that goes through two, you know, that wedges through two batim, and he builds an overpass, a roofed area that connects one bais from the other on top of a Rishus Harab. And in such a case, if he wants to carry from one house to the other, he'd be allowed to do so on a Doraisa level. Again, there may be Drabonis, but fundamentally he's allowed to do so. Why? I mean, it's true that the area between the two houses is surrounded by two machitzos, so the facade of each house. But where are the other two machitzos? And the answer is Pi Tikra Yorei Vesosim. Once you put up that roof for the overpass, then the edges of the roof on both sides go down, go to Achis Mechitza, and that's considered an imaginary Mechitza. So in effect, the area between the two houses is in fact surrounded by four Mechitzos, and that's a Rishus Ayoch. I'm hoping that this rings a bell. But here in our sugya, according to Reb Zera, we have another application of this general rule called Pi Tikra Yored Vesose. And since there's one base saw, one third of this three base saws karpaf, that is roofed, that roof is able to set up an avir keruyo, an avir that is roofed. And the roof now sets up mechitzos. So what you really have in effect is an area that's surrounded by mechitzos. We're going to set up a mechitza going down from the roof on all four sides. And the avir, the airspace within the airspace that's roofed, is a separate rishus unto itself. Which would in effect reduce the size of the karpaf, such that it no longer has more than a base asayim, and therefore be mutter betilta. So basically what we're doing here, according to Reb Zera, is what I call Havdolah. Not the Havdolah of Motzei Shabbos, this is Havdolah on Shabbos. And Havdolah means to separate this area that's roofed from the balance of the Karpaf, which is unroofed. And what you're left with in the area that's unroofed as a separate area, separated from the one base saw, is a base saw sayim, which is not also betiltal. It's only if it's more than a base saw sayim. So the Gemara suggests, Lema Rabba v'Rab Zera b'pluta d'Rav Shmuel k'miflik. Perhaps this machlokes between Rabba and Rab Zera in the case where one base saw is roofed is nothing more than an application of an ancient machlokes that predates Rabba and Rab Zera of Rav and Shmuel in the earlier generations. And that's a machlokes about Pi Tikra Yored Vesose. De Itmar, we learned Achsadra Bibika Rav Amar Mutal Talta Bekulo Shmuel Amar Ein Metalta Nela Biarba Amos. Rav Amar Mutal Talta Bekulo Di Amrina and Pi Tikra Yored Vesose. Shmuel Amar Ein Mevatlin Ela Arba Amos. The Lo Amrina and Pi Tikra Yored Vesose. So, what is the scenario, the machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel? We have something called an achsadra. And the achsadra is in something called a bika. So what is an achsadra? An achsadra is called a binyan ha'osui bi'ofen shikones bo avir. So that it's mostly a roof and is open space so that the air could enter in from all sides. And where is this achsadra? Bibika. So it's located in an area full of fields. And this achsadra has no mechitzos. All it has is kirui. All it has is a ceiling that's being held up by, let's say, poles. And it's out there in the fields. So now the question is, what's the status of this achsadra? The bika has the status of a carmelist. He can't carry the bika. What about within this achsadra? Does the achsadra set itself up as a separate entity, and it's no longer part of this carmelist, these fields? And the question is it a makom mukaf mechitzos? And you and I would say, absolutely not. There are no mechitzos here. You got poles holding up a roof. Where are the mechitzos? So Rav Amar mutar b'talta b'kulo. The status of the achsadra is identical to a rishus hayachid. Where are the mechitzos? So the Gemara says, Rav Amar mutar b'talta b'kulo de'amrinan pi tikra yored v'soseh. That coming out of the edges of the korah, of the kirui, the tikra, shouldn't call it a korah, that's a beam, a tikra, a ceiling, is yored ada aretz, our imaginary mechitzas that take you from that edge of the tikra all the way down to the ground. Shmuel amar ein metaltelin el b'arba amos. Why? No, it's less than arba amos, like any caramel is. Lo amrin pi tikra yored v'sosein. Now, this is a bit of a difficult issue here. I want to continue in the Gemara, but tomorrow, remind me, I want to come back to this question. It can't be that Shmuel denies the principle of Pi Tikra Yored V'Sos. I mean, that's pretty fundamental, and it's all over the place. So there's going to be a Rashi later on, at the end of Masechta Erevin, who says that Shmuel only disagrees with Rav in the case of achsadra, about how far we can apply, to what extent can we apply the principle of pi tikra yored v'sosin. And Shmuel thinks that achsadra is way beyond pi tikra yored v'sosin. Why? Because since the achsadra has no mechitzos on any of its four sides, you're going to have to apply pi tikra yored v'sosin times four to set up four mechitzos to allow Rav's carrying within this achsadra. Shmuel is going to put a a clamp on Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem, and he's going to say you have to have at least one bona fide mechitza. You want to apply Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem times three and set up three mechitzos through Pi Tikra. That's fine, but not four mechitzos. You know, you don't even have a base from which a launching pad. You know, you can't start Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem from scratch. There's got to be. So again, just to summarize, Shmuel refuses to apply Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem times four. And now we turn to Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis, and the Gemara rejects this. And the Gemara says no. The machlokes between Rabba and Rab Zera is not identical with the machlokes between Rabba and Shmuel. Even Rabba, who says that we're not going to apply Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem, and therefore the Karpaf remains Asur, he could hold like Rav. He can accept the principle of Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem in the case of the achsadra. But Ie Davida Ki achsadra Hachinami Hacha V'Vayaskini Di Avda Ki Ur Zila. So in this particular case, it's not like the Kiri of the Karpaf was made like an achsadra, meaning you have a flat horizontal ceiling, because in such a case we would apply Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosem, and here Rabba would agree with Rav. But Hacha, our case, in the case where he made a kirui, he made a tikra on his karka, it's the avda kiur zila. He created a ceiling that's on a slant. And in this case, Rabbah holds that we don't apply the principle of pitikra yored v'sosin. And why is that? So Rashi says that's because ein lo peh. Okay, ein lo peh. So he built the roof like the roof of a shed with a slanted roof. And according to Rabbah, it's not viewed as extended downward. You know, pitikra yored v'sosem. And he says the following. Since the edge of the ceiling is not perpendicular to the ground, what we said, yesh lo peh, therefore, although Rabbah agrees with Rav Zera, then they both accept Rav, that pitikra yored v'sosem, they're disagreeing about a slanted roof. If the karpaf was partially covered by a flat roof, everybody would agree that those are two separate karpafs, because we would apply the principle of pitikra. That's in the case of a flat roof. The dispute here is about a roof that does not create a legal partition, meaning you don't apply pitikra, and therefore the karpaf still remains beyond two besa. Rav Zera held that even a slanted roof creates a partition, and therefore we have two confines. Alright, so he doesn't really help me much. So Belineta, tomorrow we'll try to figure out, there's a long, long note here, it goes on for pages, about why Rabbah thinks that if it's Meshupa, if it's slanted, we don't apply the principle of Pitikra Yored Vesosa. So we'll stop here on Chafeyam and Beis, and we're up to Amar Rabbi Zera, which is the second line down from the top of Chafeyam and Beis, and try to finish up tomorrow to add to what we discussed today about Pitikra Yored V'Sosim in the case of a slanted roof. What's the machlokes between Rav Zera and Rab?